We're going to talk about Noah tonight. Leadership lessons from Noah. Noah's the guy that built the ark. Hey, listen, church, we take for granted that everybody knows this stuff, but I'm telling you, not everybody knows this stuff. And you're going to see a change in the way we preach and teach around here, because we're not just trying to keep the saints satisfied. We want to reach people. And we have people come in our church who either don't even know who Noah is, or if they do, they think that story is a fairy tale. So I'm not just going to preach and teach for us anymore. I'm preaching and teaching for the unchurched and the lost. And so you need to bring them. And those of you that are mature will be excited about that. And those of us who are just religious will think, well, I don't like that. I'm preaching good right now, but anyway, we're gonna move along. So here's the fun part. Y'all forgive me for that. I have a little fun part here. We can learn a lot from about life from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. Number two, remember, we're all in the same boat. By the way, there's a real spiritual truth there. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. When you're 500 years old, God may ask you to do something really big. Don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. When you finish a big job, a long cruise is just the thing. You know, that just sounded really cool. You know, I thought that was really a neat thing. You know, he's on this big, giant cruise ship. But then I can't help but think about three stories of animals that all eat and go to the bathroom. Not the cruise ship. That's worse than Carnival, isn't it? Anyway, when you finish a big job, oh, I already got that one. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs, right? Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. No matter the storm, when you're with God, the sun's going to shine again. Well, tonight we're going to find some great leadership qualities in Noah. He is an exceptional man and an exceptional leader. And I'm going to use that word a lot tonight, exceptional. But I want to say this from the very beginning. That does not exclude you. In fact, I believe that we can learn how to be an exceptional leader. This doesn't exclude anybody. You see, when we say exceptional, well, we think of the one or two, you know, the special people. But it isn't amazing that in the kingdom of God, it's not who the world thinks is exceptional that God uses. Who's exceptional in the kingdom of God? It's the people that God uses. And I'm just telling you from the beginning that when I say exceptional, that is not excluding you. It is including you. In fact, it's really up to you. And I hope that you get a hold of this message tonight, because you can be an exceptional leader. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made man. Now I'm telling you, that's pretty bad. And God says, I'm going to destroy man and everything, every living thing on the face of the earth. We think we live in a bad time. I just want to kind of give you this idea here from the beginning of how bad it was in Noah's day. It was so bad, God says, I'm going to destroy them all. That's another one of those verses that train wrecks some people's theology. God says, I'm going to destroy them all. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the exception. Noah. One guy in a whole generation of people. There's one guy that finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's quite an exception. He was the exception. When God's about to destroy everyone else on the planet, one man finds grace in his eyes. That makes him quite the exception. God told him to build a giant boat and to get his family on that boat. He had three sons. He said, get your three sons and their wives and your wife on the boat. Eight people in all. Now, this giant boat, by the way, is about, or probably a little more than, 500 feet long, 75 or 85 feet wide, and 45 to 55 foot deep, and it has three levels inside. And as strange and crazy as it may sound to us, you could actually put all of the animals, two of every kind, seven of the clean, of every animal alive on earth today in that ark. That's amazing, isn't it? But it was a huge boat. And God gives him these directions, specific instructions, not just about the size, but about how to do it, what to use to build it. But here's what I want to focus on, is that Noah was an exceptional leader. He's truly a great leader, in that he was able to lead his entire family onto the ark to save them from destruction. He didn't lose one. Now, in a whole generation of people, we're probably thinking, but yeah, but what about all those other people? I want to tell you something. A lot of people set out to win the world, or they focus on certain ministries and certain avenues of ministry, and yet don't reach their own family. How sad is that? I'm going to tell you, our first ministry ought to be to our family. If we win anybody, we ought to start with our family. And I, you know, here's a little side note about that. God didn't tell Noah to go win the world. He told him to get his family on that boat. And you know what? He got it done. Just eight people. He was only able to save eight people. But think about this. If every Christian today were able to win eight people, or seven beside themselves, we'll just say seven, I'm telling you, we'd win the world in no time if every Christian could win seven people. When you consider the time in which he lived, getting eight saved was a remarkable thing. Remember, nobody else made it. Nobody. But it wasn't just any eight, it was his family. I think the person that wants to reach their family needs to pay close attention to Noah. There's a lot you can learn from Noah. He's the exception because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, we understand the New Testament word for grace is undeserved favor. Some translations just use the word favor here. But here's what I want you to see. It's right there, Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had exceptional favor with God. Exceptional favor. Nobody else got this favor but Noah. Hear me now. Spiritual leaders have to have favor from God. And when I say spiritual leaders, I don't just mean pastors and evangelists. I'm talking about in your home. I'm talking about in your workplace. I'm talking about if you're trying to minister to a friend or you're praying with people in the hospital. Let me tell you what makes the difference. You got to have the favor of God on your life. There has never been a self-made spiritual leader. Listen, Luke 14 and 11, Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. No spiritual leader ever raised himself up. It is God who exalts. It's God who promotes. You know, we none of us like the sound of somebody being self-promoting, but it's so common in our world that a lot of the time that same attitude comes into the church and the body of Christ. And we just need to remember this. It's not our self-promoting that gets it done. It's the favor of God on us. And when somebody is really being used of God, listen, it's God's favor on them. It's not just the talented and, you know, and the natural, what we think is gifting, but it is God's favor that really makes it happen. Now, when I talk about God's favor, I know that some people are going to think, well, then God plays favorites? Certainly not. God doesn't play favorites. He didn't just look down from heaven and just say, I think I like that Noah guy and don't like anybody else. There are reasons why God favored Noah. And we need to understand this, that he had exceptional favor on his life. And some of us are thinking, well, that's not me. Well, it can be. You can have exceptional favor on your life. But I want you to see this now. You see, there's four more principles I'm going to give you about leadership from the life of Noah. Here's the first one, though. Don't forget this. It's exceptional favor. But there's four more. And if you say, well, why did he have exceptional favor? You're going to find out in the next four principles on leadership that we get from Noah. Why did he favor Noah so? The second principle of leadership from Noah is he had exceptional faith. Now, I know the first two messages I did on leadership training, we talked about faith, and I said I'm not going to keep doing it every time, and I'm not. Eventually, I'm going to quit, but it's not yet. And I've decided I'm okay with that because we need it, church. This is the one principle that until we need to hear this over and over. We're living in such a faithless generation. And if you're going to lead, you have to be a man, a woman of faith. If you're going to lead anybody, your own family, you're going to lead your neighbor to the Lord, you got to be a person of faith. And I'm telling you, the greater your faith, the greater potential of your influence. That influence is leadership. So you got to be a man, a woman of faith. He had exceptional faith. Hebrews 11 and 7 tells us, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, how did he get the favor of God on his life like that? Well, he was a man of faith. And it tells us right there that he became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You see, if you want the favor of God on your life, you got to believe what God says. God's not going to ever favor you if you doubt him and don't believe what he says. But here's the principle of leadership again. When it comes to faith, it's so important that we are not unbelieving. We're not doubters. Listen, the leaders are the people that are saying what God says. The leaders are not the people that are calling it like it is, saying, well, this is what the world says. This is what the circumstances are. No, the real leaders are the people with faith, people of vision, people who are able to see beyond just what is right now and see with eyes of faith what can be. Those are the people that lead. But think about Noah's faith. It was so strong that it kept him going, working on that ark, for probably 75 or 80 years. Now, you know, here's what the kind of details people like to get hung up on. Some people say, well, it could have only been 55. And some say, oh, it was probably 120. And they just, listen, it doesn't matter. If you worked on something 55 or 120 years, the point is still the same. And we need to get the point, not argue about the details. And the point is that for 75, 80 years, however you want to call it, day after day, there is no proof. There is no evidence other than this one proof that God said it. And here's the point I want to make to you. Most of us can't work on something for 75 days without seeing results. We live in such an instant generation, and we bring that into our faith, and we demand to see something happen right now. And I'm telling you, we need, when we hear from God, when we know that God has put something in our heart, then we don't give up, that we keep moving forward. What if he would have given up after 50 years and just said, well, this is stupid? They would have drowned. I'm telling you, he had exceptional favor because he had exceptional faith. And God used him as a leader to save his family because of his exceptional faith. You know, it's just such a tangible, forgive me for using money. Preachers talk about money all the time. Well, Jesus did it. So, but it's just such a tangible illustration. But, you know, so many people say, well, you know, I tried that tithing thing. Well, my goodness. I know the Lord says, try me in this, but it's not something you throw some dollars in there to see what happens. That's not what that means. Listen, it is a lifestyle. It is a way of faith that as you are obedient to God, he will open the windows of heaven and bless you. But here's the point I want you to get is that he had a faith that kept him going and kept him going year after year after year. Even though he didn't see anything happening, he still believed. That's exceptional faith. Noah had exceptional character. Genesis 6:9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Now, y'all excuse me, on several of these, when we fill in the blank, I'm giving you a little bit different word than what the scripture said, just because sometimes those old King James or even the New King James basically use the same words as the King James, and it doesn't give exactly the right meaning of in our generation. You know, the word perfect in our generation means that you don't have any faults. I mean, anybody ever known anybody perfect? Well, I'm telling you, if we think that Noah was actually perfect in the way we use the word, none of us can ever measure up, and we know that. And that's not what it was talking about. But it's talking about a man who was blameless, listen, in his generation. And when I say blameless, that doesn't mean he never made a mistake. That's ridiculous. Noah made mistakes. In fact, if you read on in the rest of his life there, you read where later he became a farmer and he grew grapes. And one, I guess he let the grapes get a little too fermented because he got drunk. So you can't say that he never made a mistake. But this is what the Bible tells us about his character. That he was just. He was a righteous man. And he was blameless. In other words, in this horrible generation, here is one man who is living a godly lifestyle. That's character. We think that we have it rough today. It is nothing compared to what he was living in that day, when men's hearts were continually on evil. And listen, it wasn't like he could go to church and find some other people that were living a good life. He was it. And yet he had exceptional character. He did what was right in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Here's a key to leading your family. It's character. I want to say this one more time. Nobody is perfect. And you see, the world uses that as an excuse for young people and children not to obey their parents because parents aren't perfect. Of course, they're not perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be a good parent. You see, that word is taken from Old English, and I'm telling you, that's not what's required to have good moral character and to live a blameless life. It means that you do the right thing. It means that you don't lie. You swear to your own hurt. You tell the truth. Listen, here's the thing. Your kids know when you're doing right, and they know when you're doing wrong. Don't ever think that you're fooling your kids. They know. And what they need to see is real character. They need to see that you serve the Lord, whether it's convenient or not. They need to see you stand up with some backbone and say, As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do. They need to see that kind of character. And I'm just telling you, here's a real key to leading your family. Exceptional character. And it's up to you. I'm telling you, you can be exceptional. You say, oh no, I've made too many mistakes. There's a cure for that. It goes like this. You admit you've made mistakes and you stop it. Move on. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to make another mistake, but what I'm saying is listen, if you've blown it in the past, you admit that. You admit that as a leader. You say, I've messed up. I shouldn't have done that way. I mishandled that, or I shouldn't have said that. And then you just move on and you said it right. But listen, don't allow the enemy to convince you that you can't have exceptional character, because with the help of the Holy Spirit, you certainly can. Noah was exceptional. He didn't just go with the crowd. The world was going to hell, literally, but he wasn't going with them. Now, I'm just going to meddle here for a second, and then I'm going to move on, I promise. I just want to challenge you to have some exceptional character. You know, I know in the body of Christ today, there's a wide spectrum of convictions. Some people would not ever go to a theater, don't own a TV set. And then we have everything from that all the way to people who go to church every week and yet just will watch anything. They watch nudity, listen to all kinds of profanity. They watch R-rated movies. In fact, it's kind of the standard in the church today is that they don't talk about it at church, but they watch R-rated movies. And I'm just telling you that you need to have some character about yourself that you don't just go along with society. You need to have some standards and some values, and your kids need to see that. Let me tell you what's wrong with our kids' values. They need some leaders. Church, we got it. We have to be the leaders for them and show them. They have to see it in us. If you're watching things that your kids can't watch, that's not character. Well, I'm an adult. That's the world's argument. See, we're supposed to, I said I'd move on. He was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Noah and detail of his life. We just get little pieces here and there. But this guy evidently went around preaching what was right. He was a preacher of righteousness, even though nobody listened besides his family. Nobody else listened, but he still told the truth. I wonder if when the water started rising, they wished they had listened to crazy old Noah. Crazy old Noah. That's right. What would you think about a guy building a cruise ship in his backyard year after year? But I bet they weren't laughing at him when the water started rising. Noah had an exceptional relationship with God. Now, we talked about this when we talked about Enoch. It is Noah and Enoch are the only two that the Bible actually tells us that they walked with God. We read it in Genesis 6:9. Noah walked with God. Real leaders have to have a real relationship with God. You see, real leaders have to have vision and direction. You can't be a leader if you're just following along with the crowd. That's not leadership. A real leader has to have some kind of leading, some kind of vision and direction about where they're going. If you're just following with the crowd, you're not leading. You have to have vision and direction. And let me tell you where spiritual leaders get their vision and direction. You hear from God. You got to have a relationship with God. Noah heard God's voice. You know, as you read that chapter, and I chose not to read it or read the whole three chapters or so there to you tonight. I hope that you will go home and read Genesis 6 through 8. In fact, you might just get carried away and keep reading. But at least read Genesis 6 through 8 and read the whole story there. But it is absolutely amazing the detail that God gives to Noah. All that Noah heard from God. Listen, we might not hear God speak to us in such detail where He just spells it out, lines it all out for us. We may not hear that kind of clarity. But listen, every one of us as a child of God can hear His voice and know His voice. That we know in our hearts, we know inside when He has impressed us to do something or not to do something or given a specific direction about something. It may not be where we could write it out. He said 65 feet long or wide. And listen, it may not be like that, but you know in your heart what you're supposed to do. You heard from God. We need desperately to hear from God. And if we're going to be leaders, we have to have that kind of a relationship with God. Who can have an exceptional relationship with God? Any of us. It's up to us. God's no respecter of persons. Noah acted in exceptional obedience. Exceptional obedience. I just want to read these passages to you, or verses to you quickly. Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, God tells him exactly how to do it, and here's what the Scripture has to say about Noah. So he did. Genesis 7:5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. He said, okay, get your family, get all the animals inside. And Noah did. Verse 15 and 16 says, and God spake to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. And y'all need this verse also. It's Genesis 8 and 18. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Here's the point. Whatever God said to him, Noah did it. Down to the letter. Every detail, Noah did what God told him to do. Now, I'm telling you, the detail is amazing. Now, how many of you would like to have kids who listened like Noah did? Come on. I mean, listen, Noah listened intently to God's voice. You know how I know that? Because he built this ark exactly the way God told him to. And it's recorded in Scripture, all this detail. How could that have ever been related if Noah hadn't have been really listening? He listened intently. And I think this goes back to the relationship too, but I'm just telling you that we need this kind of exceptional obedience, and it's got to start with this. The first thing is that you got to hear. You got to listen to God's voice. If you don't listen to God's voice, you're not going to do what God said. And sometimes we listen to God's voice, we hear what He says, but then we forget. We let it go. The next thing there is that Noah followed directions. How many of you would like to have kids that always follow directions? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. I'm just using our kids as an illustration, okay? Because it's not really about the kids. It's about us right now. You see, we need exceptional obedience in our life, that we follow directions. Isn't it amazing? You go back to Adam and Eve. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will surely die. They didn't listen good enough, and they sure didn't follow through with the directions. Just that one simple little thing. And now you got this guy, he gets this big long list of instructions and he follows it to the letter. Let me tell you something. You learn that kind of obedience with God, you will be a leader. Because the reason God doesn't trust most of us with more influence, more leadership, is because we're not really trustworthy. We got to follow through with what He says to do. And you know, most of the time it's proven in just the little things. When God tells us to do some little thing, we want to do some great thing, but we don't even follow through really with the little things. You know, I think too often we're like King Saul. When King Saul didn't destroy all the Amalekites like God told him to, in his mind he's saying, well, yeah, I did. But he didn't. And a lot of times we're kind of like that, where we pretty much obey God. We need to completely obey God. Follow through with the directions completely. And then here's the third part of that. Noah got it done. Listen, that's obedience. You get it done. Now, he got it done. He got the ark built. But there's something much bigger, much more important than that. I mean, it all went together, didn't it? But he didn't just get an ark built. He got his whole family saved. He got them all on board. You know, if you're praying for family members tonight, I don't want you to get on some guilt trip or feel like, oh, well, I'm not doing... Listen, I just want you to realize that you can be an exceptional leader. And in your family, you can really make a difference. You see, it is that old doubt, fear, and unbelief that comes in and tries to get you thinking, oh, well, I've blown it, or I can't. No, I'm telling you, you can be an exceptional leader. And if you'll trust God, if you'll believe God, you see, the Bible tells us, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that us and our household will be saved. Now, I just want to get this out here now. It's what you can believe for. It really is. It's what you can believe for. You know what? Well, that yeah, there's more there than some of you are thinking. So I appreciate that. But I'm just, you know why we don't just pray, oh, the whole city of Burleson is going to get saved and come to our church? Because we don't have faith for that. 36,000 people, they're going to show up at our door. If you've got faith for that, step up and get it done. But I'm just telling you that a lot of the time it's what we can believe for. And my encouragement to you about that is that we need to believe. We need to be expanding our faith and believe. And don't let the enemy steal away your faith and keep you from believing for your family or your co-workers. Or, see, it's easy to say, oh, Lord, save the whole world in Jesus' name. Amen. No, you get a hold of faith for two or three that you're believing God right now for. And you really pray and you really believe for those to be saved. Not the whole world, but individual people. Pray for those people. Call them by name. Believe God for those people to be saved. But I want to close with this tonight. Did everybody get some exceptional leadership principles tonight? There's five. We're going to go through them one more time. You might have to help me. I'm a little off tonight. First of all, is you got to have exceptional favor with God. It is God that makes the leader. Next, you got to have exceptional faith. You got to do this by faith. There is no other way. That's what pleases God. That's what He rewards. That's what He blesses, is when we live by faith. You have to have exceptional character. You can't just kind of live however. No, you got to really be living the life, living a godly life, doing what's right. Next, you got to have an exceptional relationship with God, where you talk to Him, but you also let Him talk to you. And I miss this. I have to get this in. This is really important. You see, a lot of times we want the detail. We want God to speak to us the detail like He did to Noah. Well, Lord, just tell me all this stuff I need to know. Tell me how to do this. Lord, tell me. And I think the main reason that a lot of time we don't get any detail is because we're not even doing the things that he wrote down and told us. Like, don't gossip. People just talking, flapping their jaws and being ugly. Lord, I wish you'd tell me something important. Keep the Lord's Sabbath holy. Have a day that you set aside to worship God, that you make time for God in your life. How is it that we want God to give us details when we're not even obeying the big things, the things that he wrote down for us? And I'm just saying, if you want to hear from God, we have to have enough character to walk in obedience. And that was the fifth one, wasn't it? Exceptional obedience. That you hear from God, you follow directions, you get it done. Amen. Now here's what I want to close with, though. You can be an exceptional leader. You might not reach the world. But think about this. How important were those eight? Well, they were the eight that God used to fill the earth up again. He started over with those eight. They were pretty important. And you don't know how important even one person that you reach might be. They might be somebody that reaches tens of thousands. And all I'm saying to you is, don't discount the eight. If you only reach eight, that can be an amazing thing. But you can be an exceptional leader. I just encourage and challenge you. Every one of those principles I shared tonight are within your reach. It's really a choice for us that we choose that in our life. I want you to pray with me. Go ahead and stand and let's just pray as we conclude this service tonight. And I encourage you to take this to the Lord. Take this message to the Lord. And you just pray. You ask God to make you the leader that you need to be. You ask God. Let him know. You want to be that kind of leader for your family. You want to be that kind of leader in the workplace. You want God to use you in a greater way. It's all right to pray that way if your heart's right in it. But I just encourage you, don't allow yourself to feel like you could never make a difference. I'm telling you, God will raise you up as an exceptional leader right where you are in your world, in your sphere of influence, and use you in a mighty way to change somebody else's life. There'll be people in heaven because of you. Because God used you. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word to us tonight that we can be exceptional leaders. I pray, Father, that in this room tonight, Lord, there not be one that's lost. But not only that, Father, I'm praying, Lord, that in this room tonight, of all the families that are represented here, Lord, I just pray that there not be one that's lost in any of these families. Lord, because there are leaders here who are going to stand in the gap. There are people here who are going to believe, Lord, and we're going to live that life you've called us to. We're going to obey you. We're going to do what you tell us to do, Lord, that you be glorified. Lord, that your work be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you, but I'm going to go ahead and let you be dismissed. Amen. Realize God's going to use you to lead somebody. Amen.